I do not consider myself an intellectual. I consider myself a half-assed intellectual. That's the best. So Mary McCarthy said about intellectuals, you know what? They're not particularly good at almost anything. Like they don't drive cars better than non-intellectuals, and in fact they probably have more trouble tying their shoelaces than non-intellectuals. But there's one thing that they're superb at, and that is smelling a rat. And so I think in that respect I am a half-assed intellectual, because I seem to have some capacity for sniffing out things that aren't right in virtually every area of life. Mm-hmm. And I can certainly slip up too. I'm not saying I have a perfect record in that respect, but it seems to be a tendency with me, or a facility, and I think it's really a valuable one to have, and one that we should encourage. It can be taught, I think, and I think it should be.
Well, the question that I asked, I guess I was trying to lead you into discussing how you put together the Great Deception theories in terms of research, how your critical observations led you to this Great Deception series.
Yeah, sorry, okay. I did lose the track of your question there. I did. The first came the smelling the rat.
Yes.
Second came realizing that all the other people who should be smelling the rat weren't. So now I'm smelling a whole bunch of other rats. And then I thought, what can I do about it? And I thought, well, obviously, I thought, this job is not for me at all. This is a job for investigative journalism. Investigative journalists should be swarming all over this thing. And big papers like the New York Times and the Globe and Mail and CNN, they should be breaking this. I should be sitting at home watching it and doing media criticisms about how well they're doing it. But the thing is, it wasn't happening at all. And then I thought, gosh, maybe I have to do something about it. I'm not an investigative reporter. I have done investigative reporting in the past, but I'm not an investigative reporter. And so I'm a commentator. But obviously I had something really large to comment on, and that was the failure of these media to do what they're supposed to do. And yet, as I said in the meeting, I was fearful even of saying that, because I saw that the whole social environment said that it's a taboo to question the official story. So even I was impelled to say nothing on air for a while, and then finally I couldn't contain myself any longer, and give great credit to my fellow producers and all up and down the line at Vision. When I said I've got to do something about this, none of them said no. And yet they were not all convinced of this by any means. They were in varying states of wondering, and generally thinking probably it was just Islamic terrorists. Maybe there was some little slip-ups or intelligence failure or something. That's where most of them were at. And I tell you, in our production meetings, I did do a lot of educating. And they backed me up all the way.
Given mainstream media's lack of even questioning the events at all, what do you see the role of alternative and independent media in uncovering or in playing out the whole, trying to uncover the official version?
Well, they should be doing that. And their role is really clear, is to do what Hamilton Indie Media has done, and to do what Briar Patch has done, and to do what Global Outlook has done. And after you've named those three, you're done. And so it's a really simple answer to a really difficult question. They should be on board the 9/11 Skeptics Union movement, all guns blazing.
What has been the role of the independent and the internet media in exposing the inconsistencies of the official version of 9/11, in your view?
Well, this is where the internet, which I was skeptical of for some time, people were saying for a long time, they say, oh, the internet's just so wonderful, it's a new age, it's a new everything, and it's just best thing since sliced bread. And again, I was skeptical about that. Sorry, can't get on a big bandwagon that fast. But I must say that with 9/11, the internet came into its own, in my opinion, just like gangbusters. And I love this term, authentic journalism, or authentic journalists, that we see on narconews.com, and which Al Giordano credits to a Mexican journalist. I don't know the exact history of that phrase, but I really like it. Authentic journalism. And authentic journalism, as I understand it, is really, really independent. You asked a question about ownership, which isn't ownership. That was brilliant. And thank you for saying that. Al Giordano, to my understanding, he owns a laptop. He doesn't even have an apartment. He doesn't even have a permanent home. He doesn't have a credit card. This guy doesn't owe anybody anything. He's just an independent, skeptical thinking guy. Great mind, great writer. And I think these are the heroes. Al Giordano, Michael Rupert, Michelle Chosudovsky, Hamilton Indie Media.
Portland Indie Media, too. They're doing a
Portland
bunch of features.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm mentioning Hamilton because it's nearby, and there are others. These are the heroes of 21st century journalism. And this is where the really serious, important, timely journalism is happening. And it's just putting the rest of journalism, with a very few exceptions, to shame. I'm not saying that because this is an indie media interview. Definitely not. No, I've been saying this. I've been writing this.
Since none of the mainstream media has been covering it, what's been the response to your Vision TV series, The Great Deception?
Well, the response, as Al Giordano finds and as Michael Moore finds on his book tour, is the response from ordinary people, ordinary viewers, is tremendous. It's positive, 99% positive. It's the largest response that Vision ever had in 14 years to any programs. The response of the mainstream media? Nothing. The closest we got Antonia Zerbesius, the television reporter, columnist for the Toronto Star, she was sent by our publicity department the two tapes, the Michael Rupert tape and The Great Deception, and she said, these are terrific. She said, if even a tenth of what Zwicker and Rupert are saying is true, it's staggering. And she said, she's sending the tapes on to certain people at the Star. She didn't say certain people, she named a couple of people, whose names I just forget right now. And she said, I hope they're going to be interested. She was just going on a week's sick leave at the time. Nothing. Haven't heard a thing. Now, I shouldn't just be such a complainer, because I have a responsibility, for instance. I've been thinking of calling, I already did, as I told you in my talk, I did go to two leading journalists in investigative journalism in Canada and tried to get them to do something. So it's not like I've done nothing. But I think now that TV season is over, I'm starting to get my head above water again, that I'd like to go and see Tom Walkham at the Toronto Star, because he has very good instincts. And there's another reporter I won't mention who's at the Globe and Mail that I'm going to have lunch with next week. And I'm just going to talk about this with them and see, is anything happening inside there? And if not, why? And could they possibly be moved to do something? But I normally don't intervene that way in the mainstream media. I like to just do my stuff out in the open. And what I say in television, I say here, I say to my wife at home. It's all the same thing. So the idea of going and lobbying journalists, there's something about it that I find a little bit unseemly. And I don't know why exactly. But I just have that feeling. But I'm going to do it anyway. I think it's justified.
Okay, in the new season, do you plan on pursuing this issue with Vision TV, or will you be doing any independent research this summer?
Well, I'm working on a book, and about a third of the book is about this. And I'm going to try to analyze selected media, especially opinion columnists, from September the 12th, because we're talking print here, through of 2001, through September 30th of this year. That'll be about a year and 2 weeks. And then there are other bookends for the book, too. One is that when I was born in 1934, fascism was on the rise, Hitler was on the rise. And when this book is published, presumably in early 2003, fascism is on the rise again. So history is repeating itself. And the third part of the book is sort of autobiographical about some things I've experienced in and out of the media vis-a-vis politics in general. And so that's important. I hope to complete something decent, and we'll see. Then Vision TV's season isn't going to start until January, instead of September as usual, because of difficulties at the station with finances and that. They're deferring the start of the season to January. I certainly hope I'll be part of it. There's all sorts of indications I should be. But you can't count on anything. I'm on contract. And I've had my contract renewed 13 straight years. But maybe it's an unlucky number.
Well, I'm sure the viewers, Vision TV viewers, will be hoping and expecting you to return after the great coverage you did of...
I hope so. And there's more to be said about this.
Of course.
For sure. Whatever happens. And so I do hope to be there. And if I am, there's no way I won't be dealing with this. For sure.
Good. Okay, in conclusion, do you think that there is any hope, or what can people do to expose this deception and to stop the agenda of the global corporate dominance?
Well, as I have, believe it or not, this is really part of my philosophy. It's a phrase that hardly makes any sense, but it has meaning for me, and it is, you never know your luck. And over again in my life, when I thought that nothing, that I lost this watch, which is a dear watch, has very high sentimental value for me. I found it. Right? I so often that I've practically given up hope, and then it turned out that something worked out, and not just finding things, but regarding significant stuff. And so I think that that should be kept in mind when we look at corporate agenda globalization. For one thing, it is so diseased, it is so corrupt, that it's its own worst enemy too. And sometimes you just help to push something over that's already tottering. So that's one thing. But another thing is, it's the only game in town. We have to try anyway, and it gives meaning to our lives to do the best thing we can think of, win or lose. And I do believe there's no necessary justice in the universe. I do not expect everything to turn out right or well. And that's just to believe in fairy tales. So I don't have a confidence of, quote, victory, unquote. But there are, at the same time, besides you're never knowing your luck, and besides it's a rotten system that has its own built-in contradictions and worse. But also there are signs of hope that you can measure, such as what polls are showing in the United States, which is the most important country in the world, not the best, not the most moral, but the most important one, just because it's the most powerful. And polls there are showing that the population is turning against capital punishment very strongly, going for reproductive choice very strongly. There are a lot of liberal attitudes, small L liberal attitudes, that are growing in the midst of this Bush regime, and also a tremendous amount of antagonism toward him and his illegitimacy. So that I think things are going on under the surface, even in the USA, that are, I don't want to say they could be revolutionary, but there's reason for hope.
Do you see, on the surface level, do you see any hope stemming from the global justice movement, anti-globalization movement, that has been growing over the past several years?
Sure, and of course it suffered, as everyone knows, a terrible setback, but as Michael Parenti says, the corporate agenda globalizers, the capitalists, have no sense of proportion. They don't know when to stop. They don't know how much is enough. And so they're going and going and going for privatizing our water systems, for privatizing our electric systems. They're going and going and going for it, even after this has proven to be disastrous in Bolivia and in California and Alberta, to name three jurisdictions. And so the very fact that they won't stop their grasping is a basis of hope. And so therefore we should pick up our our pick up ourselves off the floor where we were knocked on September the 11th, and renew that anti-corporate agenda globalization battle, and because we never know our luck.
Great.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.